So now I'm going to conclude the paradox here. So I just have a little bit today. Because Ruth was coming, I'm just going to do a sermonette. So my normal 20-minute sermon or 15-minute sermon will be about 5 or 6 minutes. So everything will go through. It's sort of like a trailer maybe and a teaser of what may be coming in June when I preach again. God has been dealing with certain areas of my life and just speaking with me. And through what everybody else has been praying, it's pretty much going back to the basics, just going back and reviewing things. It was nice for the songs and then with Ruth, because my whole topic here in the next time in this one is looking at just the aspect of faith. Faith is what took Abraham out of Ur to the promised land. Faith is what took Isaac to go, wait, Abraham, Isaac, yes, Isaac to go up and sacrifice his son. Abraham, wait, yes, you know what I mean. I'm so messed up right now. So it's that faith that took Abraham up to go sacrifice Isaac on that hill. And God provided a way out. It took faith for them to come out of Egypt and into the promised land. It took faith for the prophets to declare God's word and what he is doing. And that's what we're looking at. When you look at what does it take to be a Christian, what does it take to be, to walk in the Christian life, to follow Jesus? And that's what we're going to look at. Looking at Habakkuk. I love that book for some reason, the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Because he complains. He has no problem telling God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Why do I look around and everything's going wrong? People are being mean to each other. This country is falling apart. Judah is no longer here. Why do I have malaria? What is going on? It's fine to complain. It's fine to complain to God. He listens and he answers. He answered Habakkuk in his complaint. But what was his answer? His answer confused Habakkuk. His answer to Habakkuk was not, I'm going to wrong the rights, right the wrongs. I am really doing great today. I am not going to right the wrongs. I am not going to destroy the enemy. What's his answer? I'm bringing up a group of people more ruthless than yourself that hate God, that trample on nations. I'm going to bring them up. I am bringing them up to destroy you, to destroy Judah. It's like, what the heck? We're not that bad. Look at those guys. And yet God's what God tells Habakkuk he's going to do. So Habakkuk goes, okay, I'll sit back and listen to this complaint, what your answer is to this. And I think he sums everything up in that answer. And that answer is then used several times in the New Testament by Paul. He goes, yes, behold the pride of the Babylonians. His soul is not upright, but the just, the righteous, will live by faith, and faith alone. Faith is the only thing that propels us forward. Faith is the only thing that guides us. The opposite of faith is pride. And that's what it says there. Behold the pride of the Babylonians. His soul is held upright. Pride is in everything that we see, and it takes all manners of shapes. Because the rich man can be proud in his wealth and how he gained that wealth. You take it to the opposite side, the poor man. He can be proud in the fact that he doesn't have wealth and that he has less, but he's making it. A talented man can be proud that I can do this. I can do all kinds of things because I am talented. I can play instruments. A man without talents or few can be proud of his hard work to make things work. A religious man can be proud, I know God, I am religious. An atheist can be proud, I don't need God, I'm proud of my unbelief. And even we have a way with Satan. I'm a praying man. I'm a man after God's own heart. I'm praying, but yet pride steps in. I am proud that I'm a prayerful man. I am proud that I study the Bible and I know the Bible inside and out. I am proud that I'm humble. That doesn't make sense, but it is. In your humility, you can be proud in your humility because it's based on yourself. Pride is the opposite of faith. Not looking towards what you can do yourself, but looking at what does it. What's looking at God and not ourselves. It's mentioned, you know, like I say, Paul mentions it in Romans. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and is written, the just shall live by faith." In Galatians, he says, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just will live by faith." And then Hebrews, before the great chapter, the faith chapter of chapter 11, he goes, "For a little while he will be coming and will not tarry. Now that the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith." That's what it takes to live by faith. There's a story about Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the great reformer. Thank you. I don't know why words are so hard for me today. The great reformer, the one that showed what it meant to follow Christ and not the church. He was an Augustinian monk, well-seated within the Catholic Church. And just as some people will go to Jerusalem to see the sites, in the Arabs, they will go to Mecca, a pilgrimage to Mecca to meet God. Those monks would go to Rome to see the sites where Paul had preached, where Paul had walked, and all the relics that were brought from Jerusalem to Rome for the faith. So he made his way from Germany to Italy, Rome, and on his way he got sick in the Alps. He got deathly ill, and he didn't know if he was going to make it. And he was calling out to God, what was wrong? But yet in the back of his mind he heard that verse, "For the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Well, he finally got better and made his pilgrimage the rest of the way to Rome. And with the rest of the monks, started to go around from place to place, seeing the sights, doing what was expected of the monks, to get indulgences from the Pope, to do their duty, what was required, to sort of climb the ladder of churchhood, popehood, monkhood, I don't know what it's called, but to gain more privileges, to know God more, and then their belief in purgatory, to do things to get people out of purgatory and into heaven. So he's going through all these things, and he gets to the St. John's Basilica, where there's a staircase that's supposedly taken from Pilate's courthouse, brought to Rome, put into this place, and those are the very steps that Christ himself walked up and down for the trial of Pontius Pilate, oh my gosh, and that the very blood of Christ would have fallen on those stairs. They were brought to Rome. The tradition of the Roman Catholics at that time would be to experience the mourning and the suffering and the prayers, and to get people out of purgatory, to get indulgences, you were to go on your hands and knees and make your way up those stairs. Reciting prayers, our Father, our in heaven, our Father, you know, be with me. Kissing the steps as they make their way up the stairs so they can reach the pinnacle and get the indulgence that is from the Pope. As Martin Luther was going up those stairs, stairs by stairs by stairs, something in him was kept pushing at him, pushing at him, pushing at him. It's like duty, 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 duty. All I know is duty. It's all about the works. I need to do works. I need to do works. And as he was making his way up, that verse came to mind. The just shall live by faith. He stopped. He realized it. He got up and just walked back down and back to Germany. Because it is by faith you have been saved, not by works, lest any man boast. It is by faith alone that we are saved. And the Reformation formed that day because the realization that it's by faith and faith alone. Now, is it the amount of faith you have? No. No, because it sort of correlates with that pride. What's your faith in? What's your faith in? You have pride in your money. You have pride in your abilities. You have pride in what you do. And that pride leads to faith in what you do. If I treat this dog with ABC, it's going to have this outcome because I have faith that that medication is going to do what it's always done. But it always doesn't work that way. I can have all the faith in the world on this thing that I'm holding on to, and if there's no substantiation in that thing, that faith is worthless. So if you know anything about infinity, you remember the little math symbol infinity? What is infinity? It means it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. There's no end to it. So you have, let's say you have this amount of faith, a boatload of faith, more than you can measure, in something that's not substantial, your faith is only as big as what you have the faith in. And what you have the faith in. So the faith needs to be in God because God, He is immeasurable. He is infinite. His substance, His love, His care for you, what He does for you is infinite. It's infinite. What do you have if you divide infancy in half? It's still infinite. You divide it in half again, it's infinite. You divide it in half again, it's infinite. Infinite, infinite, infinite. You divide, 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 divide. You can get down to the size of a mustard seed. And that faith is still infinite. That's why it says, if you have faith of a mustard seed, that's all it takes to move mountains. Because it's what your faith is in. In the substance that your faith grabs a hold of. Now, next time I want to look into what is faith? What are we doing with faith? What is it? So this is just a teaser. The program's going to probably be a lot worse. Just like all those trailers are all much better than the movies. But anyways, it's just a short little summary of what God is dealing with and where I want to go next. And I think it's wonderful that it brought out Ruth's story today was a microcosm of that moving from faith to faith to faith to faith, that the faith is no longer in something that is part of this world but is put into the God eternal, the creator of the universe, where no matter how big your faith is, it is still infinite, an infinite amount of faith. So today as we go, this week, as we ponder upon what's going on, as we celebrate Michael's wedding, let us walk in faith in what God is doing in our lives. that he has us in the palm of his hands. Because with faith follows trust, follows more faith. So you have a good week. Father, we just thank you and we praise you that you've given us this faith, Father, that you are faith, and that we can look to you and you alone. And we glory in that, Lord. Be with us this week. Be with us this week. And surround us with your presence. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Now remember, for all those that want to, we're taking Ruth out.